The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What month is it, people? It's March. It's March. March is here. In honor of Oprah, who won the week. Look at this, though. This is my favorite part. Look how they wreck each other right here. Mina Kimes, Frank Isola, El Tonkin back with us, and Jackie Mack. Let's go.
Upset, baby.
Mack L. Frank, you got no shot today, my friend. No shot. Hey.
I know.
Welcome back, L. Duncan from maternity leave. Excuse us as I just look at the photos of young Xander. How do you not just stare at him all day? How do you eat that face up? Look at the big man. Big man. And
yes.
Of course, Evie is
Hi,
the perfect
lady.
Big sister, right? She's helping out, doing diapers at 2 years of age. Wonderful. Congrats.
Sure.
Welcome back.
Disregarding him.
It's the first word.
Shorter third.
Gonzaga, the 20th team to enter the NCAA tournament undefeated. They're 26-0, 25 of those games by double digits. Even last night, they were down at the half, got punched in the face, they said. We needed that, they said. They got a 10-point win. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. What does that resume and undefeated going into the tournament mean for this Gonzaga team?
It's amazing. Maybe it's just the year that we're in, but it seems like they're floating under the radar as an undefeated team in March. But with Jalen Suggs, as we know, you get to this time of year and a point guard play is so important. And don't forget about Corey Kispert. Here's a guy who Mina knows, reminds you a little bit of Joe Harris, has the floppy hair, the headband, and he can shoot threes. They are a big-time offensive team. They will not be easy to knock
Mina out. Kimes, that resume, undefeated, going into the tournament, what does it mean?
It means that we have a very simple answer to the question of who the best team is. There's really not a case to be made against them. You could argue that Michigan might be a little bit more balanced, but the Zags' offensive dominance is incredible. And you're right, it has flown under the radar. They're averaging more points per game than any Division I team in more than a decade. How are we not talking about that more often? And it's not just that they've crushed teams with these double-digit wins. They've beaten good teams, Tony. Eight victories against so-called Quadrant One teams, which considers both rating and home or away. They're the favorites. I just cannot see an argument.
Thank you, Mina. Mina is calling the 26-0 number one team in the country the favorites going into the tournament.
Bold.
Jackie Mack, historically speaking, I mean, 25 double-digit wins. Go ahead on this Gonzaga team.
Well, of course, I love this Gonzaga team, just like everybody else on this panel. And I loved what they did just last night in that BYU game, Tony, because when teams are undefeated, especially when you're talking about college kids, the more wins and the closer you get, the more pressure becomes. So you could have even forgiven them if they dropped this game last night. But that's not how they're wired. That's not how their coach is wired. And they end up pulling out this game. Now, the word of caution, of course, is there's a reason it's called March Madness, and it only takes one game where either you don't play up to your standards or some team plays incredibly, like, you know, 1985 Villanova Georgetown, I was there. Villanova missed one shot in the second half. That's what it took to beat Patrick Ewing and those Georgetown teams. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm rooting for Gonzaga, but the whole idea of March Madness is it could.
All right, you're rooting for Gonzaga. Somebody tell Baylor and Michigan and Illinois that.
Hell,
Duncan, undefeated going into the tournament. What does it mean?
I don't think it means a lot because it's Gonzaga. How many times must we be burned by
Watch
Gonzaga?
Yourself,
because
Elle.
Mark Few has been the picture of consistency, but in his 21 seasons there, they already have four seasons of 30-plus wins, and they've been a top three seed seven times, and they've been a number one seed three times, and yet all they have is one championship, one Final Four appearance at that when they lost to UNC. And I get it. This year it's different because Suggs has help and they're better than the Rui Hachimura years or the Adam Morrison years. But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me seven times?
Wow.
What then, people?
Wow. Mina, you want to go back at Duncan there?
Yeah, apparently me calling them the favorite, the obvious favorite, was a bold thing.
You know what? Now that you mentioned it, good point.
Listen, Ella's right. Like, you take the field because it's March. But, again, it's so hard to poke holes in this team. Mm-hmm. Not only are they dominant offense, but I called Michigan balanced, but they're 10th in KenPom's ratings on defense as well. They do not have weaknesses. They should win this
thing. The team with three All-Americans, really. I mentioned they're the 20th team to get to the tournament undefeated. So that means 19 before have. Anyone know how many wound up winning the tournament?
Four?
Six. Taking a shot.
Everybody's wrong. Somebody said six, which was the closest one I heard. The answer is seven. All right? So, Jackie Mack, you're gonna get a point for that. It's close to 40%. That's what we have going in. Now we'll move on. Duke, red hot. One game tear. To get to over 500 in the ACC tournament. Now, they're playing the round before the round before the round before the ACC title game. So what are we talking about here? Jackie, will it take an ACC championship for Duke to get in?
I would guess that that's the case. But for argument's sake, since that's what this show is all about, is professional banter, I'm going to say that if they get to the championship game, depending on who they beat, because we don't know who's going to win along the way here, that might be enough. If you have a big upset over, say, Florida State or a team like that, then maybe that is enough. I don't know that for sure. I do know this, that when they get behind closed doors, there's always a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And the fact that Duke has legacy and that Coach K has been someone that everybody admires and respects in the conference, in the NCAAs, it may help them. Do I think they're going to get there? I do not.
Just hearing that, Mina, made you shake your head no. Go ahead, Mina.
Well, it makes me smile because people will be so angry if that happens. Just purely based on record and their lack of wins, if they do not win it all, or win the tournament, rather, their path is so narrow, Jackie, like Tony Reale jeans level narrow. They need many bubble teams to pull off upsets. Syracuse, Memphis. I think of teams like Arizona that are in a similar place where they have to win the tournament and are ranked above them. Like, it is very unlikely, and if it does happen, people are going to be big mad.
Thanks for that boost of confidence there. I really needed that today. It feels good. Frankie, does Duke need to win the tournament title here in the ACC to get in?
Yeah. I'm going with Jackie. I think if they get to the conference championship game, I do think they'll get in. But this is the problem with these big conferences playing these tournaments. It completely devalues the regular season. They prove what kind of team they were during the regular season. They don't deserve to be in there. But we know the NCAA tournament is a television show, and that name on the front of the jersey still means something. If they can get to a conference final, I believe they'll be in the field.
Danielle Duncan?
But it shouldn't, Frank. I foolishly believed that every year what was perfect about the tournament is that it was solely based on merit just from that year alone, and Duke doesn't have the resume. And to your point, if they were to make it to the finals, yes, that would mean they had some quality wins over Louisville and Virginia Tech and FSU, but that would just be a boost. In order to overcome what Duke's had to do this season, it would have to jump a canyon. That's just not enough. They need to be able to win the tournament to secure.
If they get to the title game and lose that, that would be 14-12. If they win it all, of course, they're going to advance because that's what the buy-in gets you. In a year, though, where everything was just totally off the wall, unexpected, if you were making a bet on anything, it would be on the Blue Bloods, right? Well, they've got, you know, Kay and Izzo and Self and some of those programs
Calipari.
Were kind of moving in this direction for a while. Duke's the only one not to get back. We're going to move on now. The NBA investigates. The Miami Heat monitor Myers-Leonard's apology for the anti-Semitic slur he live-streamed while playing video games is right here. A statement of acknowledgement he wrote. Didn't know what the word meant, he wrote. El, how should the NBA consider this, and how do you consider it all?
Yeah, this is like another example of it feels like we have an apology template a little bit, right? Where it's like you apologize, you plead ignorance, and then you assure everyone that you're going to focus on better educating yourself. I saw Julian Edelman's post, and I thought it was really good. And so I'll sort of lean on Julian Edelman here and say, let's give Myers Leonard the benefit of the doubt that he did not know what it meant. Let it be another stark reminder, people, in a long line of them, that we need to proactively educate ourselves and not reactively educate ourselves. If Myers Leonard has the fortitude to make it to the NBA, he certainly has enough fortitude to figure out what it is to offend an entire group and population of people. Like, it's not that hard to put the energy into understanding the racial bias, to understanding slurs and the meaning of that troublesome word. And I feel like, on the other hand, this is also an opportunity to remind some of you who are thinking that you would be in the best position to say whether or not we should forgive, right? If you're not in that offended community, this is probably your best opportunity to lay out. Because again, if it wasn't aimed towards you and did not offend you, this is really not your dog to fight.
Jackie McMullen.
I think that's probably the best point of all, isn't it, Elle, for some of us I think that word to me is so universally offensive. I find it hard to believe that people don't know that there's a huge negative connotation for that word. Maybe you don't know the exact meaning of it. But I think the Miami Heat will do the right thing here, and the NBA may just let the Heat handle it to the best of their ability. That might be the way the league decides to go. Mickey Aronson, the owner of the Miami Heat, is Jewish. I don't know how he feels today. I'm sure he has some thoughts about this. And my feeling with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and the leadership they have in that front office, they're going to do the right thing by their team and by the league itself, too.
Frank Isola?
Well, you know, to Jackie's point, the NBA has dealt with this before. If you remember, Kobe Bryant got fined $100,000 for an anti-gay slur. Joe Kim Noah got $50,000 fine. So I do think the NBA will step in. And to Jackie's point, you know, to say that anytime, anywhere is awful. But think about the owner, where that, you know, the fan base that you have in Miami, it's a big Jewish community down in South Florida. Just the public shame and the embarrassment is going to be a lot of punishment for Myers Leonard. I would not be shocked, considering where he is in the NBA and his standing, I would not be shocked that the Miami Heat end up releasing him.
And Mina Kimes.
Yeah. Leonard's explanation was that he didn't know what it meant, which, regardless of whether or not you believe that, something that occurs to me as well, using a slur and the way he used it, you can tell he meant it in a negative connotation without knowing what it means, is, I won't say equally bad, but certainly deserving of condemnation in and of itself. And with these kinds of cases, we always kind of go straight to punishment, forgiveness, debates about that, almost skipping over the actual insult, what he said, because we assume everyone knows that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can make that assumption here. Clearly, there are grown men, in this case, who don't know that it's unacceptable, who don't comprehend the level of hatred that's baked into that term and the level of pain it causes to Jewish people. So I would just want to dwell on that. And in terms of Myers and the team and what's next, that needs to be front and center as a reminder to everyone and a lesson, apparently, for some people as well.
Elle, you'd said something before we sat down about instances similar to this, and we're not comparing anything here, where some players get released, some players don't get released, and I want you just to expound on that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Myers Leonard is probably going to get released, not because of what he said, mostly because what Myers Leonard brings to the Heat, almost anyone can bring to the Heat.
We've been Horn, we're taking a break right here. When we come back in buy or sell, well, that's a surprise. How about that? It's a surprise. Buy or sell in the other minute.
More babies?
That would be a surprise.
Bowl 24, keeping it real with Serena.
If you've never worn a cat suit to work, you really should. And if you've never tried Bolt 24 Restore with 10 grams of collagen, you really should.
All right.
Bolt 24. Excuse me.
What?
What year is it, please?
It's a 79 AD! Run for your life!
Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5-HE Travel to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The joke some people make is that everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So then I wonder, how is Chris Webber not already in the Basketball Hall of Fame? Yeah. He's on the list of finalists. Here it is, that list. Long and, of course, acclaimed. Jackie, you're in the hall. How does that list look to you?
Well, the thing that jumped out at me, Tony, was two names, Ben Wallace and Michael Cooper. Both of these guys are known for their defense, and so often in Hall of Fames, they're left out. Michael Cooper never made an All-Star team, but he was one of the greatest defenders in the game's history and was the only guy that could stop Larry Bird successfully. Why wasn't he in the Hall of Fame? Because he played with guys like Worthy, Kareem, and Magic. That's the only reason. So don't hold that against him. I love that defense is getting some love on this list.
Wow, he never made an All-Star team? And you got never him in the Hall of Fame. That's because you love defense. What side of the ball would you say was your preferred side when you were playing at New Hampshire, Jackie?
Yeah, you might.
Defense! There you go. Al Duncan, anybody on that list jump out at you?
Ready.
It's who wasn't on the list. Like, where's Swin Cash? She just has such a history of consistency and winning at every single level. Won a couple of times in college, won three times for two different teams in the WNBA, won a couple of gold medals for our country, and was really one of the cornerstones of the WNBA early on, sort of in its infancy. So I'm wondering where Swin Cash is and why she's not on the list.
Frank Isola?
When I think of the Hall of Fame, I think of immortals, and obviously Bill Russell is going to get in as a coach. Paul Pierce, all-time leading scorer in Celtic history. There's a lot of players there. They all had great careers. Do I think they're Hall of Famers? No, but I'll give you a name. Bobby Dandridge led the NBA in the NBA Finals in the 70s in scoring. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, and Mina Kimes.
Well, I was Captain Obvious in the first part of the show with Gonzaga. I'll continue that theme. Chris Bosh, okay, didn't make it last year, but he not only, you talked about guys making All-Star teams or not making, he made 11. He's got the rings, and of course he's got the whole you can't tell the story of basketball without him, change the game. I mean, it's a no-brainer for Bosh this year.
Did Frank try to sneak away saying, I believe Bill Russell is a Hall of Famer, when Russell's already in the Hall of Fame, now going in as a coach potentially? Are you trying to take credit for Bill Russell? I saw that. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, MVP favorite now in the second half of the NBA season. According to Caesars, it's Joel Embiid. Here are the odds. Buy or sell Embiid is the consensus favorite, Frank.
If LeBron James wants to be the MVP, he's going to be the MVP. If he could somehow get to just play majority of the games he's in. I'll say this about Embiid. He has 5 games of at least 40 points and 10 rebounds. The rest of the league combined has 4. That's pretty good. Right now, it's a two-man race.
Mina Kimes?
It's Embiid. I mean, when we debate MVP, it's always about dominance or value. He's got both. The dominance, 30 points per game on the number one team, and the value. This team is 14 points per 100 points better when he is on the court. They need him, and he's been great.
Jackie Mack?
Yeah, Mina's exactly right. Embiid is the reason Philadelphia is where they are now. I talked to him in November, and he was still mad that he wasn't on the All-NBA teams last year. He was hell-bent on proving everybody's wrong. The only thing that's going to hold him back is he's got to play more games. He's only played 30 games so far. LeBron's already played 36. You can't let that number get too wide.
El Dunk.
The reason he belongs as the MVP, stats aside alone, is because the entire conversation about whether the significance of Ben Simmons' development in shooting was going to be germane to them winning has become irrelevant, and thank God for that. It doesn't matter if Ben can shoot anymore at this point because Joel Embiid is doing absolutely everything. You could land on nonsensical or unbelievable, but either way, Joel Embiid 100% is bringing the big man back.
Germane, irrelevant, sensical, nonsensical. Wow. L. Duncan. Buy or sell three. Stay with me here. This is an idea. It's not a proposal. It's not a new rule. It's an idea to maybe get some thoughts rolling from a longtime leak power broker in his Kevin Arnowitz piece. As a way to curb the NBA's enthusiasm for threes, limit a team to 20 threes taken until the final 6 minutes of a game. And then you can shoot as many as you want. But limiting threes here, Jackie, buy or sell?
I understand what they're after there. It just is a little too gimmicky for me, Tony. It feels like what they were trying to do with the All-Star game over the last couple of years. I've had GMs privately tell me, what if we have a four-point play, a four-point shot from the half court or beyond where, like, Dame and Steph Curry shoot? I don't think any of this is going to happen in the immediate
future. So a four-point play wouldn't be gimmicky in your estimation as well?
I'm not saying. Okay. I think it would be. Yes,
all right.
I do.
L. Duncan?
I hate to besmirch a colleague, Kevin, but literally no one asked for this. What? What are you talking? No! The last five NBA champions have all been really good three-point shooting teams except the Lakers last year. It is obviously important to winning a championship.
Nobody asked for this. Frank Isola, were you responsible for this, Frank?
No, no, no. Jackie got the right word. It's way too gimmicky. And Elle mentioned Ben Simmons before. It would be great if he came out and trolled everybody and said, I'm all for it. Eliminate the three-point shot. No more.
There you go. Jimmy Butler, too.
Okay, Edmina Kimes.
So much hating. I'm selling the limit, but I am buying the idea that we should limit threes. Not fun threes like Steph Curry threes. Wide open corner threes from centers who miss a lot. And the way you do that, allow more physical defense. No gimmicks, just more defense. Yeah.
Everybody loves a three, but I think half of you just had Embiid winning the MVP. You know, he shoots a little bit.
No, Embiid's shooting 40% from 3 points.
He is.
40%.
Yeah, he's making him.
Yes,
maybe it's possible this long-term power broker in the league who hates and despises and loathes a three-point shot is someone we know. Maybe, Mr. Bob Ryan. Maybe.
Another Hall of Fame.
Okay, Mita Kimes, really L. Duncan. That's our showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tom Brady takes the ends of bananas off when he's making a smoothie. I'm not saying anything else. Mita Kimes, L. Duncan, welcome to Showdown. Fair or foul to take the ends of a banana off when making a smoothie, Mina?
I think it has some appeal, Tony. I mean, the ends of bananas are kind of weird. No?
Yeah, they have a little black nugget that I'm uncomfortable with. But at the same time, Mina, outside of that terrible dad joke you just said, I also am not the authority on these things because I eat chicken fingers and pizza with a knife and fork. So,
will you eat pizza with a knife and fork?
Correct.
I thought for sure my points were going to go way down with the joke.
Yes, they are. Everybody's points are going down, but congratulations, you just advanced with minus three, Mina.
Wow. The top banana. Okay, I just wanted to give a shout out to our colleague Kevin Pelton. Did a great story recently on the decline of black coaches and executives in the NBA. Coaches used to be half the league as recently as 2013, down to 7. Kevin explains that some of this has to do with the movement away from hiring former players as coaches and front office folks, but also even if you control for that, former NBA players who are white are 4 times as likely to be front office decision makers than their black counterparts. It is a problem that needs to be fixed, and the NBA needs to look inward to do so.
Thank you for that, Mina. Frank, did you hear that? Pizza for the Fork and Knife. Mon ami, I just...